Zephaniah chapter 2 tonight. Remember, this is our seventh of 14 books we're going to look at together as we walk through chronologically as they were given. So we're not far from Daniel, which will be extremely exciting and fun. But even Zephaniah, we see here that God is giving Israel their final warnings before the captivity of Nebuchadnezzar. And that's what we find here in chapter 2. Of Zephaniah. So we'll start there in verse 1. Oops, I'm in Habakkuk. There we go. Zephaniah chapter 2, beginning in verse 1. Gather yourselves together, yea, gather together, O nation not desired. Before the decree bring forth, before the day passes the chap, before the fierce anger of the Lord come upon you, before the day of the Lord's anger come upon you. Seek ye the Lord, all ye meek of the earth, which have wrought his judgment. Seek righteousness, seek meekness. It may be ye shall be hid in the day of the Lord's anger. So tonight, seek righteousness. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I pray that you'd use your word now in our hearts and lives to teach us and to just work miracles in our walk. And that we want to honor you with our lives, and we pray that the Holy Spirit would now continue to conform us to the image of Jesus Christ through your wonderful word. May you be glorified in this service. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So as we can see, God's warning them. He says there in verse 2, the fierce anger of the Lord is come upon you. We've seen this over and over in Isaiah and then the prophets up to now. This continual warning about God's anger being poured out on Israel. Obviously, initially with the Babylonian captivity, and then finally, as we saw last week, with the coming tribulation period, which has yet to come, the time of Jacob's trouble, Daniel's 70th week, a time of vengeance, as we saw last week, a time, well, look at chapter 1, verse 15, and this single verse, Zephaniah 1:15, gives more synonyms, if you will, describing the nature of the tribulation than any other verse in the Bible. Those are wrath, trouble, distress, wasteness, desolation, darkness, gloominess, clouds, and thick darkness. It's quite a list. And so what he's describing there is this time of the day of the Lord. It will be a terrible time on earth. And if you look down at verse 11, it says, the Lord will be terrible unto them, for he will famish all the gods of the earth. He will famish them all. So he reminds them of the solution. They didn't take it, but it's never been different. Amen? And that is, it starts, verse 3, with seeking the Lord. It's still true today, is it not? That the only solution to the wrath that will come upon us because of our sin, the wages of sin is death, the Bible says, is we must seek the Lord. And so Jesus Christ came and died for us, so the salvation was available, praise God, through his sacrifice. But God expects us to make that move. Someone shares the gospel with us, and then we must seek the Lord. We must ask for salvation. God gave us this free will, and we have a choice. Every human being has a choice, right? The Bible says, Psalm 53, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. So that's the first choice that man can make. My conscience is telling me that there's something more. My conscience is telling me that this design must have had a designer. Right then, we make a decision. Yes, there's a God. No, there's not a God. A lot of people choose to say, no, I'd rather not believe in a God. That way I can just go on with my life. They've already made that first wrong decision. Then someone comes along in our life and says, your Creator loves you. He loves you so much. He became a man and died in your place. But you will die and go to hell if you don't accept his payment through his Son, Jesus Christ. Then we have another decision to make. We can seek the Lord. We can seek his salvation. We can seek his answer. Or we can say, that's not for me. Again, I'd rather go on with my own life. I don't want to go God's way. Aren't you thankful we made the right choice? Think about where we would be if we hadn't. So seek the Lord is where it always begins. All through the scriptures we're told this. Go to Isaiah 55 verse 6. And how we all hope and pray that more will seek the Lord. It's up to us to tell them about Christ. It's up to us to share the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's up to them to seek the Lord. Isaiah 55, 6. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Seek the Lord. Go to Jeremiah 29, 13. We'll see another one. Jeremiah 29, 13. And ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart. This is a common theme of Scripture, that God wants us to seek Him. To seek Him. We get to the New Testament. Jesus said, seek ye, we sang it this morning, the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. So God wants us to seek Him. He's paid the price. He's done everything. Salvation's a gift. But we must make the decision to seek Him. That's why He says in 2 Corinthians 6, 2, now is the day, the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. The time to seek the Lord is now. Not to put it off, not to wait, but now. So that's the solution. It's always been the solution. Seek the Lord. So moving on, look in verse 3 again of Zephaniah chapter 2. What does he say? Seek righteousness. What he's telling us is there, we must seek the Lord on His terms. Seek righteousness. This righteousness is only found in God. We don't have any righteousness. Our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, as we're told in Isaiah 64 and verse 6. So we must seek His righteousness. So go to Romans chapter 9 and we'll understand this a bit better. Romans chapter 9 and verse 30. This is where Israel continued to fall short, especially when Jesus came to the earth and offered them their solution. So Romans chapter 9, verse 30. They weren't seeking God's righteousness. They were seeking their own. And he talks about that here in Romans chapter 9. Look at verse 30. What shall we say then? That the Gentiles, which followed not after righteousness, have attained to righteousness, even the righteousness which is of faith. But Israel, which followed after the law of righteousness, hath not attained to the law of righteousness. Wherefore? Because they sought it not by faith, but as it were by the works of the law. For they stumbled at the stumbling stone. That makes it so clear, doesn't it? The Gentiles, us, I don't think there's any Jews in here this evening. We weren't living righteous. We were living as sinners. But we've attained to righteousness. How is that? Verse 30, by faith. When we trusted Christ, when we believed God's gospel, by faith, the righteousness of Jesus Christ was given to us. Now, we didn't deserve it. But this is what God has done. 2 Corinthians 5:21, He hath made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. We are declared righteous through Jesus Christ. Not because we sought it by the works of the law, like Israel. We sought it through the gospel of Jesus Christ. By faith, we trusted what Christ did, and we received righteousness. While you're in Romans, look over in chapter 10, verse 3. Paul kind of sums it up here. He says, for they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. So remember we talked about those decisions. That first decision, is there a God? Is there not a God? If there is a God, I've got to answer to Him someday. But how many people who believe there's a God believe that they're going to go to heaven because they've earned it, because they've been a good person, because they've kept the Ten Commandments, because they go to church, because they've been baptized, whatever. They're, like it says here, They're not submitting themselves into the righteousness of God. They're going about to establish their own righteousness. And as we know, the Bible says, we don't have any. Romans 3:10. There is none righteous. No, not one. There is none righteous. Righteousness can only be received by faith in Jesus Christ. Look at Romans 4:5 and we'll see this. And so God is saying to Israel, the solutions never change. Seek the Lord and seek righteousness. But not man's righteousness, God's righteousness. Romans 4:5. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for what? Righteousness. Isn't that good? Our faith is counted for righteousness. We are declared righteous because we've placed our faith in Jesus Christ. So when God says seek righteousness, he's not saying I want you to seek heaven by doing good works. He's saying I want you to seek my righteousness through Jesus Christ, like we read in Romans 10. We're not trying to establish our own righteousness, but we're submitting ourselves into the righteousness of God by admitting God is right, we are wrong, and receiving righteousness because both place faith in Jesus Christ and his payment on Calvary. So the answer is so uncomplicated. Seek ye the Lord, seek righteousness. If you have found righteousness, what's the last thing he says there in verse 3 of Zephaniah chapter 2? Seek meekness. Seek meekness. Once we're one of his, God wants us to be constantly meek and submissive in our Christian walk. The number one problem with man is our pride, is it not? And pride gets us into so much trouble. But the Bible says, submit yourselves unto God. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord. And we could go on and on all evening with all these verses telling us to be humble, to submit, to be meek, to be lowly. Because if we aren't, then we're not going to grow in our Christian life. Go to James 1:21 and I'll show you. We must have this attitude. Once we have sought the Lord, hallelujah, once we've sought his righteousness through Jesus Christ by faith, what does God want us to do but to seek meekness? Where did I send you? James 1:21. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness. Look at this next phrase, James 1:21. And receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. Receive it with meekness. And then Hebrews 12:9, one more. So seek the Lord, seek righteousness, seek meekness, Hebrews 12:9. Furthermore, we've had fathers of our flesh which corrected us and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? The Christian life is a life of submission from day naught. It's all about submitting to God, submitting to his word, submitting to his will. That's the only way we will grow in our Christian life. Look what he says back in our passage, Zephaniah 2:3. It may be. Israel, if you'll turn around, if you'll wake up, it's almost too late. I'm about to send Nebuchadnezzar to take you. If you'll just listen and seek me and seek righteousness and seek meekness, it might be, verse 3, that you'll be hid in the day of the Lord's anger. It just might be. Down to verse 7, it says that at the end of the verse, he'll turn away their captivity if they'll seek the Lord and seek righteousness and seek meekness. Down to verse 9, it says at the end of the verse, the remnant of my people shall possess them if they'll seek these things. And you and I, isn't it a blessing to know that if you go to Colossians chapter 3, that we've been hid in Jesus Christ? hid from. We were talking about this in Potato today. We were talking about, haven't even talked about the rapture yet. I want them to understand first that the nature, the purpose of the tribulation period is 100% Jewish. God pouring out his wrath upon Israel. And help them understand that the church wasn't even seen in the Old Testament. They're two different groups of people. And that if God allows the church to go into tribulation period, then, think about it, God the Father is going to be pouring out his wrath on God the Son again. Because we are the body of Christ. Well, he already did that at Calvary. Would God do that again and pour out his wrath upon Jesus? Because we are Jesus. We're flesh of his flesh and bone of his bone. And God says, no, we are hid. We're hid from all of that. Look at Colossians 3:3. For ye are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. We're hid in Jesus. Hallelujah. So we not only get his righteousness when we trust him by faith, but we're placed into him. We're hid. As he says, you're safe and secure in his hand. You're safe and secure in the Father's hand. And no man is able to pluck us out of his hand. We're safe. We're hid in Christ. And then 1 Thessalonians 5:9, if you'll turn there. God says we are protected from this wrath, not because we deserve it, but because we've sought the Lord and we've sought his righteousness and by faith received it. And it says in 1 Thessalonians 5:9, for God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. Amazing to take a book like Zephaniah and find something so applicable to us. But God here speaking to his chosen ones, saying it's not too late. We're right at the cusp of it being too late. But if you'll repent, if you'll seek me, if you'll seek my righteousness, if you'll seek meekness, it just may be, as it says in verse 3, it may be that you'll be hid in the day of the Lord's anger. God will pour out his anger upon Israel, as we know, very soon in the tribulation period. We'll be hid from that. Hallelujah. And then the kingdom, a wonderful time on earth. Then we see the great white throne judgment where God again pours out his anger on the lost when the books are opened. You and I aren't there. We're hid from that. Isn't that a blessing? That we're hid from the Lord's anger because we, through the gospel of Jesus Christ, sought God's righteousness through Jesus Christ. If Israel would have done it, they would have saved themselves all this grief and chastisement. Praise God, when we heard the gospel, we believed it, and we said, yes, I'm going to seek God, and I'm going to seek his righteousness through Jesus Christ, and he gave it to us. Now, he wants us to seek meekness. Now, he wants us to live a life of humility and submission and meekness so that he can continue to grow us and mature us and conform us to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. So God loves Israel so much. But as a loving father, he also is very saddened by their disobedience. And they are still in that state of punishment, of chastisement. Thank the Lord that we made a choice to seek God and to seek his righteousness. And I hope that we are all seeking meekness as well. Let's pray.